just great. I've been looking forward to this chat for quite some time here. So we'll just jump right in here for why we're all assembled and gathered here. I feel like a minister here for a way. So, well, okay, as we all know, the 30th anniversary of the release of the classic film, Juice, now available on 4K Ultra HD. I just would like to know that Juice was your first direct debut as a film director.
Well, I wrote the project, I co-wrote the project with a friend of mine, Gerard Brown, back around 1981, about 9 years before we were actually able to make it. So we actually wrote it together, but nobody wanted to touch it then. Everybody said it was too dark and there was no way I was going to get the movie made. So Gerard's career as a playwright was taken off. He was a playwright, writer in residence at Joe Papp's Public Theater. My career as a cinematographer started taking off, and so I was working, and Juice sat on the shelf for many years until Gerard was getting a new agent, and she wanted to see what he had written in terms of screenplay stuff. And he showed her Juice, and she was amazed that we had not gotten it made sooner than that. And so it went to several different studios, went through a process of people wanting to develop it. Some people wanted to actually redevelop it into a comedy, which Gerard and I rejected. And then one day I was contacted by a young guy named David Heyman, who was looking for his first film to do as a producer. And so that's how that happened. So we wrote Juice 9 years before we were actually able to make the film.
I cannot even come close to imagine Juice being a comedy. What were they looking at? What were they reading? Goodness.
Well, you know, when we first tried to sell it in the early 80s, when I took it to my agent, they said it was too dark. I even took it to some friends, you know, in the business, and they said it was too dark. But we were really just trying to do a story about what we saw actually happening in the streets. We were trying to be real in what was going on at that time. You know, Gerard and I came from a time when if you had a beef with somebody, you know, you would fight it out. You would box it. You would duke it out. But the fact that guns were now becoming more prevalent in the communities all over America was something that really spooked us and really bothered us. And that's why we wanted to write it.
Of course, the music and the soundtrack of Juice is just classic all by itself. But what else is it, do you think, about this film that's kept it on the minds of the public for all of these now, you know, what is it, like two or three generations? What is it about it?
Well, I think, you know, there are some forces that all young men go through, whether they're black, white, Asian, Hispanic, you know, where you deal with the pressures, peer pressure. The main problem with the guys in Juice that they don't feel that they have any influence or any power or any juice in their neighborhood, and the peer pressure that they get from the local gangs that are always harassing them, and they feel helpless. Now Q, the character Q played by Omar Epps, he's going beyond that. He's finding his own power through his music, which is taking him away from his friends. And that's part of the conflict in the film. But that peer pressure is something that I think a lot of young people feel, male and female, in any neighborhood. You're always wondering how you're being seen by your contemporaries, you know, the people around you. And when the movie came out, that's one of the things that a lot of local church groups and educational groups responded to, the fact that they were taking their kids to see the film because they thought it really represented a lot of the pressures that they were dealing with. So I think it's still to this day, you know, it hasn't aged.
Do you think that if Juice was released this weekend, would it still be a hit, or what do you think?
One of the reasons that Juice was so successful is that I was actually able to put together a really great cast. And we discovered Tupac. You know, this was before Tupac was known by anybody. He was a background singer for Digital Underground and a roadie. create a fifth character, which is the group mind and the group soul. And it would depend upon the cast if it was done today.
Who would you cast in those four roles today? Today, what do you think about today's hip-hop, urban film, and music culture that we're in right now? I would agree with you on that. When I see some of the CEOs of American corporations on certain TV commercials trying to rap, I was like, okay, yeah, not quite the same.
Yeah.
Not quite the same. Not quite. Well, finally, my last question here. As we all can see, there are so many reboot projects from film and television and music and such. What about Juice? What would you think of that, about reboot? The Next Generation project, would that be like a documentary, unscripted type, or what?
No, it would be scripted.
Okay.
It would be the children of, imagine Q grown up and Steel grown up, and now they're fathers, and their sons, or their children are going through some of the same problems that they went through when they were growing up.
These sound like...
So I think that's
sounds like some really good projects. I know the longtime fans that will definitely welcome the extended projects as well. So thank you so much, Ernest, and again, congratulations. 30 years. Oh my God, what were we? We were all, what, 5 years old then? And this is.
I wish.
Well, Ernest, I was 5. I say that you were 7. How about that?
Okay, I'll take that.
You'll take that.
I'll take that. I made my first film at 7 years old. Okay, I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so very much. I'm holding a copy of the DVD right here, and I think I'll just play it and just remember our chat here. So, again, thank you so much.
And
love it.
Look at the extras. Look at the extras, because the extras in the DVD that came out, they have my original ending that the studio made me cut. So, and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, the interview with the guys. So there's a lot of great stuff on the extras.
So the original ending, oh my goodness, I know we want people to get the DVD to see it, but can you give us just a tiny, tiny hint about the original ending and why it was cut and all that?
The original ending, the studio asked me to cut it because they considered it too disturbing. Because when Bishop is hanging off the roof and he hears the police sirens coming at the end, he doesn't slip and fall. He elects to let go of Q's hand. He'd rather die than go to jail and go to prison. And it was a heavy moment between Omar and Tupac playing that. But the studio thought that the bad guy being able to decide how, or the quote unquote bad guy being able to decide his ultimate fate wasn't what they wanted. They wanted it to be something else. But our ending was the point that it was a frame of mind that this character had that had to be dealt with that was serious.
When the studio first approached you about redoing the ending, did you immediately go, okay, or were you hesitant, or what was your first reaction?
Well, my first reaction was to fight it, but then they said, okay, you can fight it, but bear in mind, if you fight it, we may not support the film in the way you want it to be supported.
Oh, that offer, okay. Yeah, there you go. But, you know, it still became, as we all can see now, a classic film. And, yeah, I'm going to look to get the rest of the story of that, because I'm looking at the box. There is so many vignettes of interviews, so many top name, household name people now of actors and actresses. So, a great classic, Ernest. Great job, as always, with the work that you do. So, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And hopefully I'll talk to you next major.
To you.
Okay, take care then. Bye-bye.